Thanks for coming in, Mr. Mahoney. Do you have your member ID card?
Yep, I have it right here in the FEP Blue app. See?
Great.
It's awesome. The app can also help me find a provider and keep tabs on my deductibles.
Okay, can I...
Oh, yeah, and my out-of-pocket spending and visit limits, and I can call the nurse line.
I'm really glad it does all that, but I only need to see your member ID card.
Oh, that's it? Why didn't you say so?
Fearless is just one tap away. With the new FEP Blue app from Blue Cross and Blue Shield, you can access your health benefits on the go. Download it now at fepblue.org/app.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's plate this dish on a Friday, November 4th, into the weekend. It is time for Lions football this weekend in Minnesota. Pretty big game for the Lions at 4-4 going into U.S. Bank Stadium. Matt Derry with you. Another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Hope everybody's having a great week. Feeling a little bit better today after yesterday and my podcast at the start. And if you missed it, please tune in on audioboom.com or, of course, on iTunes, where I discussed my experience Wednesday evening at World Series Game 7, which was a complete total disaster as an Indians fan. But now, if you're a Lions fan, you're looking forward to a game that has some meaning, certainly against the division-leading Vikings on the road. Locked On Lions today is brought to you by the best realtor in town, Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban at 586-634-2612. Give him a call. He is there for you. Also brought to you by FreddyThePizzaMan.com and Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale, right there on 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale. It's the best New York slice, great pasta. It just is the best slice of pizza in Metro Detroit. All right, if you're new to Locked On Lions, thanks for listening. You know what we do. We bring you Lions content each and every day right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thanks to our bosses, David Locke and the crew at Locked On. Dan Feldman's doing a great job right now on Locked On Pistons. And if you go to Locked On Podcast Network, you see all the stuff. Fantasy football with Vinny Iyer. Fantasy basketball with Josh. We've got it all covered for you on the largest growing podcast, sports podcast network in the country. All right, let's get to some issues. Number one, Sam Ekstrom is going to join us from Locked On Vikings to preview the Vikings coming up in a little bit. Number two, I think this is a pretty big issue this weekend, is that does this football team have a chance? The Lions aren't going into Minnesota facing a first-place Vikings team that is rolling by any stretch of the imagination. The Minnesota Vikings right now are not playing great football. All right, they started off 5-0. They do have the best defense in football, ranked number one in points allowed, number one in yards allowed. All right, but they're struggling. They've lost two in a row. They have not looked good. And on Monday night against the Bears, their two weaknesses, their run defense and their offensive line, got exposed by the Bears. It wasn't even close. All right, they lost 20-10. It wasn't even that close. So now the Lions are going to U.S. Bank Stadium where the Vikings are 3-0. And they're going to have a loud crowd and everything else. And they haven't played there in 3 weeks, I think, because you talked the last two games were losses at Philly and at Chicago, and they had a bye before that. So it's been almost a month since the Lions have had Vikings have had a home game there. But with that being said, there is an opportunity for the Lions to steal this game. If you would have asked me a week ago, are the Lions going to go into Minnesota and win, I would have said no. The Vikings have a better team. They have a much better defense. They have an identity that the Lions still don't have. All right, what is the Lions' identity? Right now, it's basically Matthew Stafford and come from behind wins. But the Vikings' identity is that defense is ferocious. That front four is very good. Griffin and Floyd and Robinson, they've got guys that can come at the quarterback. But their offense is so bad and their offensive line is so bad that maybe, just maybe, the Lions have a shot. And that shot is the fourth-rated quarterback in the NFL, the number four-rated quarterback in the NFL, Matthew Stafford. Now, there will be some, and I think I read a column that Pat Caputo wrote, which was pretty good in the Oakland Press this week, about, hey, if Matt Stafford wants to be in the MVP conversation, then he needs to go in and beat Minnesota. It can't just be Stafford, but you know what? Is there a chance that Sunday the Lions make a statement after looking pretty lousy last week in Houston, in Matt Stafford making that statement going into Minnesota, and knocking off the Vikings? Why not? Now, I'm not going to go as far as the columnist that said, well, if he wants to be the MVP discussion, he has to win or show up and play big in Minnesota. We know every week Stafford has to perform because this is not a team that has a great run game. It's got a team that has a very, very young offensive line that has gotten better. But I really like what, you know, and the defense stinks. But with that being said, if this weekend the Lions can get a long field goal or two from Prater, a better performance this week from Sam Martin, where they have field position, where they can pin Sam Bradford deep. Why can't Matthew Stafford, he of the 103.4 passer rating and the 16 touchdowns to just four picks, why can't Matthew Stafford this week make enough plays and dodge enough defenders to where the Lions go into Minnesota and win? I'm giving the Lions that opportunity. I'm giving the Lions that chance. All right, they're a 5.5-point dog against the Vikings. I think they're going to cover. I view this as a 21-17, 20-17, 23-20 type game where the Vikings get healthy and win. But remember, last year in Minnesota, I think it was last year at Ford Field, Stafford was sacked like 7-8 times. He's been destroyed. The line the Lions are putting together right now, the offensive line, is definitely improved. It's definitely better. But the question is, can Stafford make enough plays? 1 year ago, Matt Stafford? No. I would have said no way. He's not good enough to make those plays. He's not the guy that is going to dodge tacklers like an Aaron Rodgers, run for a first down. But there's something different about Stafford this year. And if he can just be upright enough, avoid some rush enough, get out in the pocket, the Lions have a chance. And I wouldn't have said that a week ago, but I'm saying that because the Minnesota offensive line is god-awful. They're missing Alex. They're missing Andre Smith. They're missing Khalil. And now it appears they're going to miss Alex Boone. They're going to be about three starters on their offensive line. This is the week for Ziggy Ansah and Devon Taylor to get to the quarterback and for the Lions to possibly be in this game late and hopefully Stafford gets them a W. What do you think about that? Tweet to me, at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, or hit me up on the Facebook page, the Matt Derry fan page, for your comments. I love reading those, as many of them as I can. All right, we're going to go to Sam Ekstrom and talk to him in Minnesota momentarily. First, though, I have to tell you about Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale. Open for lunch Monday through Friday starting at 10:30 in the morning and Saturdays 11 a.m. Freddy's Pizza is the best, man. It really is. You want to talk about great service, great prices, good food, and you feel full when you leave. You head to Freddy's Pizza at 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale Monday through Friday starting at 10:30. Best deal anywhere for lunch. It really is. Two New York slices. They're big slices of pizza and a drink for $4.99. All right, the goulash ravioli is unbelievable. And what's great, too, is the holidays coming up. From now through New Year's catering, you can feed 15 people with a full tray of mostaccioli, full antipasto, and three extra large pizzas for just $7 per person. Double it up, feed 30 for 14 a person. Just give Freddie 1 to 2 days notice. His phone number's up on his website, Freddie the Pizza Man, F-R-E-D-I, FreddieThePizzaMan.com. And remember, go in there, order goulash, and tell Freddie, S-O-L, the new S-O-L is Stafford, our leader. He'll get you a slice of pizza for 9 cents. You got to get some goulash, too. That's the deal you get with Freddie. Go in there, tell him you heard it on Locked On Lions. Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale. 17900 Allen Road, just minutes from Lions training camp and Lions facility in Allen Park. All right, as promised, here on Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, little opponent preview. Locked On Vikings host Sam Ekstrom, you can follow on Twitter at Sam Ekstrom, joins me now as the Vikings are all of a sudden, a little bit worrisome after losing their last two. Sam, what's going on in Minnesota?
Well, there's a few people jumping off the ship. That's the splashing sound you hear. The Vikings fans are rapidly getting off this bandwagon, panicking, and I think that there's a lot of people that are maybe thinking that this Norv Turner resignation yesterday could be the move that kind of resurrects this team, much like the Lions did last year with Jim Bob Cooter.
Well, that's what I wanted to start with, Sam, is what was the reaction certainly in the Twin Cities, because, you know, Norv Turner is known to be a pretty good offensive coordinator. All the injuries that you guys have had with Bridgewater and Peterson, yet here was a team at 5-0. Is this a scapegoat thing? People happy he's gone? What's the reaction?
I would say people are more pleased than not pleased here in Minnesota. I think when Norv Turner was hired early 2014, the perception was that they just made a home run hire, got a great offensive coordinator who's, you know, really given a clinic to this league on how to run an efficient offense. But in the 3 years that he spent in Minnesota, 27th, 29th, and 31st in yards and points scored were not much better. It seemed like a somewhat outdated offense. It was more vertically based, and behind a bad offensive line, you can't always have long developing routes downfield. We never saw in Minnesota the ability to consistently push it downfield, often because, you know, number one, he didn't do a great job integrating veterans like Greg Jennings in 2014, Mike Wallace last year, and you see what Wallace is doing now in Baltimore, and that becomes even more maddening. And Bridgewater and now Sam Bradford having issues behind a porous offensive line, getting sacked a lot, and I think Pat Shurmur, now the interim offensive coordinator, brings more of a West Coast theme to the offense, which should get the ball out more quickly, and people are hoping that the Vikings can kind of discover what they did in the early games this season when they were 5-0, and people are theorizing that Pat Shurmur was much more involved in the play calling early in the season, which makes sense because of his relationship with Sam Bradford, and the folks here are hoping that the Vikings can get back to that and resemble the team that at one point was considered a big Super Bowl contender.
Sam Ekstrom, Locked On Vikings, with me. It's interesting they're going to Pat Shurmur, and you know, people are saying Norv Turner's offense was outdated. But the West Coast offense is kind of outdated, is it not?
Yeah, and Shurmur has roots there for sure, but he was also running a much more modern offense, or kind of a one-of-a-kind offense in Philadelphia under Chip Kelly. So, I mean, basically, Shurmur's had a really weird year. He's been with the new school of new school in Chip Kelly, and he's now been with the old school of old school in Norv Turner. So if you can find some sort of happy medium there that incorporates the best of Kelly and the best of Turner, you can have a pretty successful, well-balanced offense. And in fairness to both involved, you know, in fairness to Shurmur and fairness to Turner here, the Vikings have been decimated by injuries too. You know, losing their quarterback just weeks before the season. They've lost both of their starting tackles. They've lost their running back. They've got a new offensive line coach. They've got a new running backs coach. There is a ton of change from last year's group that provided a rushing champion in Adrian Peterson. So there's a lot of moving parts here that Shurmur's going to have to manage.
Sam, when you look at the Vikings offense, when Sam Bradford got there, everybody said Vikings overspent for him. What a fleecing by Howie Roseman in Philly to get a first-round pick for him. Yet he looked very comfortable early. What has changed? Is it just all those guys, including Khalil, and even last week Alex Boone being injured? Is it just that he's lost his top lineman and now he has no time to throw?
That's certainly part of it. Although Matt Khalil got hurt in the second game, so they were already without their left tackle by week three, which was Bradford's second game, and then Andre Smith got hurt in the fourth game of the year against New York. So they were having success at times without those tackles, but Bradford was so good and so accurate that it really didn't matter who was on the offensive line because he was making these incredibly quick decisions. And I would say that in something during the bye week, it was almost like every team just decided to scout the Vikings because off of the bye, the Vikings have laid two eggs offensively. It seems like the coverage downfield has been better, and the rush has been much, much better. So maybe they've scouted those kind of fill-in offensive linemen a bit more. They know what T.J. Clemmings is doing and how to expose T.J. Clemmings, who's been filling in at right tackle. And they're, you know, going back and looking at Jake Long from back in the day. And Long seems to be still with a thick layer of rust after he's back off of a long layoff and a knee injury. So it's a combination of Bradford not being quite the same spectacular passer, the offensive line a little more porous, and you know, kind of the constant behind it all too, Matt, has been a very, very poor running game. They're on pace for one of the worst yards per carry in the last 55 years of professional football, 2.7 right now, which is by far a league worst. So I mean, that's a huge issue. The protection is a huge issue, and when the quarterback is not perfect, then I think those two things get exposed.
Sam, I know you saw it, and I watched some of it as well Monday night. I thought Clemmings and Long were terrible against the Bears, and certainly Chicago's getting a little bit healthier on that defensive line, but Clemmings was a pretty high draft pick. Jake Long, certainly a veteran in this league, but there's a reason why teams passed on him this offseason, because those two guys really struggled Monday night. How bad was that?
You know, Mike Zimmer even said it a couple weeks ago. He said, you can't find left tackles on the street. And then what did? They went onto the street and they found Jake Long just taking a flyer on a low financial commitment guy who might be able to capture his former form in 2012, 2013, and to this point he hasn't done that. Clemmings, I think, is more of an issue because he started every single game last year in place of Phil Lotholt. And they didn't want him to have to start again this year, but due to the retirement of Lotholt and then the injury to Khalil, he's been again thrown into duty. They've been moving him around from right to left, and he hasn't had a chance to just solidify a one spot because of all these injuries. He's got a major lunging problem. He's off balance many times. His center of gravity is not very stable, and he's too impatient with his punch, where, like, when they faced the Texans, they had Jadeveon Clowney bull rushing him off the edge, and there were some hilarious freeze frames where Clemmings is, like, bent halfway over, and Clowney is just three steps by him about to ram the quarterback into the ground. So, I mean, Tony Sperano, in his first year here, who's had success in the past as an offensive line coach, has his luck or his work cut out for him right now with just a bunch of misfits at tackle and trying to make it work. When you have one weak link on an offensive line, you're not going to be successful. They got to have everybody working together, and right now there's just not great communication on the line with the newcomer Long and the raw TJ Clemmings on the other side.
Well, you and I talked about it yesterday on Locked On Vikings. Ziggy Ansah has been a major disappointment and really hasn't been very active, so maybe this is his breakout game against that Vikings offensive line. Tell me about, certainly McKinnon and Asiata, they filled in for Peterson before, but they haven't been able to get going either on with that run game. Does that then, if they can get a few chunk yards, that's got to open up the pass game, the play-action pass, and the tight ends. That's been a huge concern for the Lions. How comfortable are the Vikings with Rudolph and what else they have at tight end?
Rudolph is having a really nice year. He was disappointing for a while in Minnesota, number one, because he couldn't stay healthy. He missed a couple half seasons. And then in 2014 and then the start of 2015, he just had a really time creating separation. And the part of his game that was lacking also was blocking, pass blocking, run blocking. He's not great at that aspect. And the Vikings found themselves going more with a guy like Red Ellison, who not a lot of people know about, but he's a much better blocker. They also drafted David Morgan out of the University of Texas, San Antonio, to be another blocking tight end. So, but the Vikings this year have actually entrusted Kyle Rudolph a lot more in that regard, and as a result, it seems like he's gotten going in the passing game, too. He's had, I think, four touchdowns at this point in the season, three or four. I'm not looking at the stats right now. But Rudolph has been solid between the tackles. He'll be good for five, six catches a game. He's not one to necessarily explode for triple-digit yardage. He's not a Gronk kind of guy who's really going to stretch the field, but he's a nice option underneath. He's got pretty sure hands. But I think the Vikings, you mentioned it, they need to get McKinnon and Asiata going really to open up any semblance of the passing game. Without Peterson, the Vikings just don't have guys that are really going to make something out of nothing. Asiata had a long run of 7 yards against Chicago on Monday. 7 yards. And Jerick McKinnon, who's back at practice today, his ankle looks good. He should be good to go, and he'll provide, I think, another dimension because he's a great pass catcher, and he's really, really passed a lot like Theo Riddick. So I think that'll help the Vikings offense substantially.
Sam Ekstrom with us. Listen to him on Locked On Vikings right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Does a great job at that show each and every day. All right, Sam, we've talked about the offense, but the bread and butter for the Vikings, and really what I like about them and respect with what Rick Spielman and Coach Zimmer have done is their identity is that defense. 8 Pro Bowlers last year and everything else. How's it playing? And you look at the numbers and you say, all right, the last couple of weeks they've actually given up over 20 points, which for the Vikings is a lot.
Yeah, and in fairness against Philadelphia, part of that was a return touchdown, so really the defense only gave up 13 in that game. But then they legitimately struggled against Chicago. I can't defend them whatsoever. They gave up over 150 yards to something named Jordan Howard, the rookie out of Indiana, including a 69-yard run in the first drive of the game to totally set the tone. And that was a weakness for the Vikings in year one and year two. of the Mike Zimmer regime was rush defense. They were bottom half of the league. And then through five games, they were top quarter of the league. They were eighth this year in rush yards allowed until the Bears really bullied them. And they wore them down. And then when it came down to a four-minute offense at the end, all the Vikings had to do was stop three plays. They get the ball back down 10, and they couldn't do it. The Bears just bullied them. So that's a concern for the Vikings, though, with a defensive-minded head coach like Mike Zimmer and a great teacher in George Edwards at the defensive coordinator spot. I think the Vikings can correct that defense. I mean, they certainly are allowed to have one or two lapses in a season, but they're getting their starting safety, Andrew Sandejo, back. That should help with the tackling on the back end of things. One concern is Eric Kendricks. He is concussed right now, going through protocol. And if he's not able to play, the Vikings may show a new face, maybe an Audie Cole, maybe an Edmund Robinson, or Emmanuel Lemur would have to play in that nickel package, or maybe even Chad Greenway. So Vikings may be missing a linebacker, but all in all, Matt, I think this defense is going to be just fine.
Well, I would assume that they are going to send the house against Stafford. You and I touched on it on your show about the Lions' young offensive line, which has played better, but boy, oh boy, even when the Lions had success a couple of years ago there at TCF, Stafford got hit around, and then last year he took a beating from Minnesota. How's that front looking, and are they licking their chops again?
Yeah, they sacked him, I think, eight times, was it, at Ford Field in that comeback victory. That was one of the more memorable rushing or pass rush games the Vikings had last season. And actually, they've only got one sack in the last two games, which is a huge change from the previous five. And I literally just asked Brian Robinson about this a few minutes ago at Winter Park in Minnesota, what the Vikings had to do to get the pass rush back to where it was. And he said flat out, we got to stop the run. You know, when teams are running against us, they're in these second and three, third and one situations. And I think the trademark of Mike Zimmer's blitzing defense, that double A gap blitzed, he prefers to use it on third and long, like third and eight and beyond. And if you look back at that eight sack game the Vikings had against Stafford last year, I think every single sack came on third down, if I'm not mistaken, and it was like average third and nine on those sacks. So the Vikings love to bring the blitz when it's a clear passing situation, but they've been neutralized when teams have been able to get good first down and second down chunks against them in the past 2 weeks. So I think the key for Detroit is going to be, get Riddick and Forsett going and try to create some unfavorable positions for this Vikings pass rush, and then just make them stick with the front four. And at that point, I think the Vikings become a little more ordinary.
Oh, don't forget about the Z-Train, Zach Zenner, my friend.
Oh, Zach Zenner. somewhat local guy.
That's right. That's right. Hey, what about the new stadium? Vikings are 3-0 there. How much of a home field advantage is it in terms of noise and everything else?
It's loud, Matt. It's really, really loud. They've matched, if not exceeded, the noise level of the Metrodome, which was so good to them for so many years. And I don't think they're pumping any of the noise in. I think it's all legit. I think they've definitely built an acoustically sound building where the noise is going to reverberate a little bit more off that EPFE glass that they've constructed on the top and throughout the side of the building. So it really reverberates in there. Teams have been woeful with communication when they've come in for those first three games. I mean, Brock Osweiler was more flustered than I've ever seen any quarterback on third down. He was audibling on just about every play. He seemed panicked, flapping his arms, and as a result, Houston looked horrible in that game. Eli Manning wasn't much better. Even Aaron Rodgers looked pretty ordinary in the home opener. So I think it's going to be a tough time for Detroit and Stafford to communicate at the line. I hope they're practicing with some noise pumped in their practice facility to get ready for it, because it's going to be packed, it's going to be loud, and it's going to provide a much-needed boost, I think, for that Vikings defense. I mean, remember, Matt, Vikings haven't played at home in about a month because they had a bye week and then two straight road games. So they definitely need a shot in the arm. And I think the U.S. Bank Stadium crowd is the piece of adrenaline that they need.
So you're picking Minnesota to win?
Yeah, it'd be tough not to. I mean, granted, I picked them to win against Chicago as well. And I thought it was going to be close against Chicago. I didn't think it was going to be a blowout in favor of the Bears. But I am going to take Minnesota at home. You know, they haven't really been challenged that closely on their home turf yet. I think they're due for a bounce back. And I sort of think that the Shurmur change is actually going to ignite this offense in some way. I know some of those guys took personal responsibility, that Turner felt like he had to resign, or the team felt like they had to ask him to resign, and I know they don't want to develop that reputation this year. So I think the Vikings offense bounces back, the defense gets some pass rush. I'll say Vikings by 10.
Sam, thanks so much. Appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks a lot, Matt. Sorry about your Indians.
Oh, my goodness. There he is, Sam Ekstrom, Locked On Vikings. Check him out on Twitter, at Sam Ekstrom. Our great stuff with Sam Ekstrom from Locked On Vikings. Check out his podcast. I've retweeted it at Derry Speaks from the other day, where I went on with him. And some interesting feedback there from Sam, certainly, about the Vikings offensive line. And I'm with him. I think Minnesota wins a close game. But, boy, I think the Lions have a shot this weekend. And I wouldn't have said that a couple of weeks ago in watching this Vikings team play. Not at all. Not at all. So, if you're looking to buy or sell your home, okay, maybe you don't know the price of your home, and you need to find out, hey, what's my house look like? How much can I get for it? You need to call Jason Stratt at RE/MAX Suburban at 586-634-2612. All right? Jason's got a new home this month. His home of the month for November is in St. Clair Shores for just under $100,000, $89,900. It's beautiful. 22105 Avalon in St. Clair Shores. Jason Stratt's home of the month. Great house, three bedrooms, partially finished basement with a full bath, walking distance to downtown St. Clair Shores for shopping and restaurants. It's a perfect opportunity for a first-time home buyer. Why do you want to call Jason Stratt? It's simple. You can refinance with Jason. He'll hook you up with some great mortgage people. He's just really, really good as a real estate guy. He was the man that I went to when I bought my house years ago. You should call him as well. 586-634-2612. Jason Stratt is everything you want, okay? Personable, great family man. His wife, Carrie Jackson Stratt, great people. And just, that's what you want to deal with. He answers his phone. He answers your questions. He's patient. Okay, he's not one of these real estate agents that's going to bug you on weekends. You want to talk to him, great. You need a Sunday to go look at a home, Jason's your man. 586-634-2612, RE/MAX Suburban. Thanks to Jason Stratt. Thanks to Freddie the Pizza Man. Thanks to Sam Ekstrom. That'll do it. We'll be back with you on Sunday after the Lions game against the Vikings. Again, I'm looking at Minnesota winning this game, but I think it's going to be close. I think the Lions have a shot here. Okay, Lions are getting healthy. If Riley Reiff is good enough to play on Sunday, that'll be a good sign. But they're getting guys back. They've got to run the football against Minnesota. They've got to get some semblance of a running game going, because Minnesota's defense, while it has eight Pro Bowlers from last year, it's been a little bit susceptible to the run. I think if Stafford has a big day, there's a chance this team goes 5-4 and gets it done. Coaching edge, though, of course it goes to Mike Zimmer, and that's what scares me as well. This has been another edition of Locked On Lions. We'll talk to you again on Sunday.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst. Catalyst.